This is Brandon Margolis
and Brandon Sonye, writers of episode 505, Ilias Serkov.
You're listening to The Blacklist Exposed on Golden Spiral Media.
When I get close to a Fed, I chafe too. Welcome to the award-winning Blacklist Exposed podcast. I'm Agent Troy Heinrichs.
And I am Agent Aaron Peterson, and we can call off the Aaron alert. Agnes has been located. Boop, boop, boop. Safe and sound and reintroduced in the most adorable way possible. Hashtag AdoreTom.
Aww.
Thanks for joining us once again as we discuss number 54 on the Blacklist, Ilias Serkov, written by the Brandons and directed by Kurt Keen. Ah, not spelled the same, though. Show notes and other intel for this episode of The Blacklist Exposed can be found at theblacklistexposed.com. But before we get started this week, I have to say, speaking of the Brandons, and what are their real names, Troy?
Brandon and Brandon.
Okay, that covers it. Did you hear that they are working on a Bad Boy spinoff TV series starring Gabrielle Union reprising her role from Bad Boys 2?
I don't know what's more exciting, Gabrielle Union reprising her role or the Brandons potentially writing and running the sucker, because that's freaking awesome.
Okay, I'll be honest with you. I was like, no, I want Bad Boys 3, and that's all I want.
Well,
I want Martin and Will.
Yes. But if we can't get it,
Let me finish. And then I saw in the article the Brandons were writing it, and I said, all right, I'm giving it a whirl. Let's go.
More Bad Boys is always good.
They are about the only things that sold me on this idea, because I'm like, well, is at least Reggie going to be in this? I mean, come on. Reggie's got to be in there. I love Reggie.
McLowry.
All right. We'll be looking for, will be Bad Girls? I don't know. We'll be looking for that later on soon. They're going to get their own show. Good for
hopefully,
them.
Yeah. Maybe it makes pilot season for next fall. That'd be great.
Oh, maybe we'll get, well, Martin can do a cameo. I'm sure he's free.
Sure.
Sorry.
Well, last week we asked you to tell all of us for our profiling question, who stole the bones?
And a bunch of you, including Crystal, Ellen, Judy, Grace, and Anita, said Oleander.
Obvious choice, potentially. But Monica said, I know it's not Red, because Red always faces the people he's about to kill. I still think the bones are Katarina's, so it has to be adversaries from the past.
Donna Fisher, I think someone from outside, like the Cabal or the government, got wind of the search and took care of Nick and stole them bones. She didn't say them bones, but I like it better that way.
Dem bones. That's right.
Dembe bones. Dem bones.
No, not Dembe's bones. He's mighty fine. Jake Romano, I think Tom did, or had someone do it for
babe.
Him.
He's a friggin' babe. That's the word you're supposed to say.
I was letting you do it because you remember everything. Can I go back to Jake now? Because he thinks Tom did it. Or had someone do it for him.
Wrong.
I don't think he wanted any loose ends and suspected Liz may try to contact him. And he would spill that, or maybe he thought Red would figure out he was involved and torture it out of him. So, cleaning up his mess.
I actually, for a little bit, thought it could have been Tom. Like, that would have been a cool misdirection. I thought that would have been a really cool misdirection. But since unless he has a split personality, it wasn't Tom.
Some people wonder.
Yeah. Cheryl Kane, I'm guessing the killer is someone that we would recognize. I'm sorry, I thought the pause was important. Why else would they have hid his or her face?
I like the her concept. That's kind of cool.
I like the extra letters on hid.
over on Twitter, Rob Eno said, wrestler did it.
Oh, come on, wrestler. And Airtime Droshkot said Prescott.
Oh, there the cleaner. Got it. Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Next week, the profiling question is going to be, are you ready?
Ready.
Are you ready? Settle down. What will Red do to Tom now that he knows? What will Red do to Tom now that he knows that he knew Nick, or that he was involved in this in some way? And please be creative.
Yes. We want to hear some fun ones for next week. Like step one, Red has to pick his jaw up off the floor. but before a litter is born on the floor of my new studio, let's get on with this week's case profile.
That was the most gross transition you could have picked right there. Yeah.
I didn't have anything else this week.
Number four on the blacklist.
Did you hear my egg drop, Aaron?
Ilya Surkov. We've talked several times over the last few weeks about how on the money some of the references in the Blacklist have been paralleling.
You can't talk tonight either.
Man, I'm having a hard time already. Current events and all. And so here comes one that we all think probably already happens. The government is sanctioning things like this. Do you think things like this happen, Troy? Do you think this is another one of those on-the-nose type event?
The government is doing bad things to say that it's for the good of the country? Nah, that never happens.
I don't mean specifically the guy. I just mean, do you think that the show is pulling from possibilities more than they used to?
They've always pulled from good possibilities. I think most of season one was stuff that was actually available and capable of happening. So I don't think this is anything new. I just think it's more current, like literally in the headlines right now, than it's been in the past.
Okay. I was curious what you thought. Well, we begin in Leeds. And by the way, I think government's been doing this since the government started. So long time ago, roughly when everybody was on horseback. We begin in Leeds, England, where it appears to be snowing on a beautiful day. Turns out that's not snow. That's ash. And not the cool ash from Evil Dead. Bad ash. That's from a chemical explosion nearby. The Blacklist says, take that, 8 p.m. time slot.
I was super excited to find out it was a chemical plant explosion, because if this was more along the Man in the High Castle raining ash route, I would have been a little grossed out.
I don't know what that means, because I'm not caught up on that show.
It's the remnants of burning bodies falling from the air.
Oh, that's kind of cool. Well, this could still be the same thing.
It could be.
If there's anybody in there, but I don't think there were anybody in there, right?
If you fell into the chemical vat as it went down, sure.
And came out the Joker?
Ooh.
Well, the papers, by the way, where do people buy papers? Can I get a clarification on this? Where are all these papers at? Anyway, the papers blame the incident on Ilya Surkov, number 54. The problem is, Red knows for certain that Surkov has been dead for 15 months. He knows. He got a telegram. He got a raven. Meanwhile, the corpse, dead guy, has claimed responsibility for at least 3 terrorist attacks.
Sorry, I was still laughing at the raven. Flew super fast.
Very, very quickly. Apparently in Westeros, that thing can zip across.
And all the papers I know are at the dog groomer for obvious purposes.
There's nobody buys papers anymore. He's basically the internets would say these things. The internets. Does this feel, we talked about in the last couple of weeks about blacklisters and how they didn't feel so blacklisty. Do you feel like this one is a little bit more on par with seasons past?
I think so in one regard. In the other regard, I'm kind of like, well, we used a blacklister name, but we didn't really have a blacklister. And technically, we arrested the guy who was trying to uncover the bad things the CIA was doing, but nothing ever happened to the CIA director guy. So it was a little, I don't know, weird. So I don't know how I feel about it just yet. I like the story. I just don't know if it fits that blacklister mold in this case.
I think you're nuts. I think it's right up the blacklister alley. It's a guy. It's complete misdirection. It's something that is actually affecting Americans, America. And
why would he care? It's not Red's country.
And it's dark because it's underhanded. Yeah. So I mean, it's there. I see what you did there.
And technically, it doesn't affect Liz either. So that's where I'm like, where is this in the blacklister scheme of things? Does this impact Liz? Not really.
Well, here's the thing. We talk about this every week for like 5 weeks, and I think it's very important to note that it seemed that way here, but it's been very hit and miss with the blacklisters. Like, they really don't seem like kind of not really blacklist material. But now you're in episode 5, and you know this one comes out, and this is kind of like a bigger fish, and all the fish keep getting a little bit bigger. I think it's really – Red hasn't had the connections to give them – the people, like the normal blacklisters. So he's basically giving them what he can find to tide them over until he can get back in black.
So now that he has his Airbnb business, he's able to get more information, therefore he can find bigger fish.
Right. I'm seeing it's getting bigger and bigger and bigger. Yes.
But now the MO of the blacklisters so far this season has still been this switcheroo concept. Because here we had, we're the CIA. Nope, we're not the CIA, but we are the CIA, but really the CIA is the bad people, and we're not the bad people. So it was like rope-a-dope, rope-a-dope, rope-a-dope in this episode.
I think it's just one rope-a-dope. I don't think there's more than one rope-a-dope. Was there? I guess Cox was involved, so.
Yeah,
in that.
At first you got the lie about being CIA, but then you got the lie about it's not really me being bad. I'm doing bad things for the name of justice and the name of good, right, which is reasons. Kind of like a red parallelism in a way.
See, it's not so easy, is it?
It's not.
There's like one too many L's in that word.
Just like Elias. Elias Surkov.
Got or it. Ellipsis.
Oh, the dad jokes are starting already.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Everybody's like, look, we came here to hear about Blacklist, not hear you guys try to be funny. So, once again, the gang hops the water and finds MI6 agents led by Liam Gladstone.
Talk about that for a second. So, in this episode, we have FBI, MI6, CIA, mm-hmm. and then NCIS was involved, too, at the docks. That's a lot of agencies and a lot of alphabet in this episode.
Yeah, and I'm surprised that they got so much clear. I know they actually addressed it in this episode, which I was pretty happy about. Like, hey, we don't have jurisdiction over there, so we're going to have to get, you know, approval to go to Belgrade and all that stuff. So I'm glad that they addressed it. But yeah, there's a lot of agencies co-mingling, which is good. That means our government is working together.
And even though they weren't technically CIA, they actually said also, hey, this is our case because we are CIA and we have rights to be here. You don't. So that actually came out too, which I thought was really cool. When they caught up with each other at the van.
In the van, down by the river. He, basically, Gladstone doesn't believe there's a copycat because they've tracked the C4 and it leads to Surkov, who, by the way, he dead. Still dead. He's not alive.
Yeah.
That all leads him to a C4 seller, Raquan Ghaffari, who is tracked to Belgrade and therefore puts Samar undercover.
Which is the best kind of Samar.
While her ill-prepared boy toy, Aram, waits in the van. Ghaffari and Samar, of course, kidnapped. Aram totally wusses out. What's up with that? And thankfully, the man with the immovable hair is at the ready and catches up to this group who claims to be CIA, named Ruther and Calhoun, who left the agency until Ruther talked her into coming back. So we got a whole little parallelism with Liz and Calhoun playing in this episode, too. Did you like that dynamic where she's seeing what happens when you give up the family for the job?
Exactly. I thought that was very on the nose and really wanted to see where their dynamic. It was almost a shame that Calhoun was kind of arrested right away and that whole thing went. I wanted to see more of a dynamic between Calhoun and Liz play out through the rest of the episode. So maybe that was a little bit too brief because I really wanted to see how that relationship and them playing off of each other. Now that we know Agnes is back. So we know all things are good at the Keene household. So it'd be nice to hear some motherly job conversations between the two of them.
I always wonder in situations like this, you know, in shows like this where you're dealing with agencies, FBI, CIA, Alias is another one, and you get somebody who is duped. Like, they've been working for the villain the whole time. My question is, what about pay stubs? Don't they get paychecks? I mean, do they not check them?
Maybe.
This is an important question.
It's a really good point. Direct deposit has made it to the point where people don't actually look at their pay stubs. As long as the paycheck deposits, nobody actually validates whether or not the right taxes are being taken out or the right benefits are being taken out. It's a true story. We have lots of questions about that in HR all the time.
It's an interesting loophole because every time we're like, I had no idea. Well, you got a paycheck, man. It's your job. It's your responsibility to check and make sure it says CIA on the front of it.
But remember, they're undercover CIA off books.
Or whatever
they're getting
it
paid
says.
Under the table from the station agent or whatever.
I'd do some Peter Dinklage. I'd do some checking on that one. I'd do some checking. Anyway, Cooper gets with the CIA director of operations who tips Cooper off that Ruther is dirty. He pretends to be He's pretending to be Surkov. His real name is Brian Osterman, who was disavowed from the CIA in 2008. Liz finds a folder named Cyclone. Aram deduces that the next attack will be on a Cyclone-class patrol ship.
And we have a connection from a burn notice back to Ash. It works.
Tell me, Bruce Campbell is basically at the root of all evil. Dead. The post office catches Osterman, but no, that was too dead joke, but not before another attack is carried out that severed a compromised communications cable. Osterman was trying to bring Cox down, and Cooper lets his bosses know what Cox has been doing. We're going to talk a little bit more about it in a minute, but Cooper was a little self-righteous when he's been a little flimsy with the rules himself.
Exactly, especially if you looked at next week's promo.
I didn't, so why don't we talk about this week? What do you think about this? I mean, that was
Yeah, I mean, it was a little mightier than thou, holier than thou, whatever you want to call it, for him to be standing there and saying, hey, this is not cool and you shouldn't be doing that. Cooper's been in those situations and he's bent the rules. And I mean, he literally watched Liz shoot the AG cold blood and still forgave her, let her come back and help her get her badge back. So yeah, not quite the Cooper we've come to know and love in the past.
I don't know how I feel about that, him scolding another guy for not doing, I mean, yeah, you've, the guy had a point, man. Cox had a point. But we'll come back to that. Well, let's get into our characters.
Isn't it more interesting that he talked to Cox, and Cox is in this episode as the CIA director, but yet we still have yet to meet Cooper's boss, the new FBI director, who you would think would have been in part of this conversation. Like the head of one agency, you should probably have the head of your agency there. It's kind of like protocol, best corporate politic kind of thing. Just saying.
Not really. I don't need to see him. I'm kind of fine with it. I'm fine if it's like, what is the guy on Big Bang Theory, his mom, and you never see his mom?
Oh, yeah, I gotcha. Okay.
Wallowitz?
Yeah.
I'm fine if it's like a Wallowitz. You never see the director. I think that would be kind of fine.
This would be one of those situations, though, where Cox could have been like, you know, hey, FBI director, since we don't know his name. Hey, John, you better keep your guy in line here. He's talking out of turn. Could have had one of those conversations.
This is why you're never going to be a tough guy, because that's your tough guy talk. Do you think that this episode is a highlight of the season so far? Where do you sit on this one?
I love the fact that we, A, had the Agnes sighting the way we did. I thought that scene was just freaking brilliant with Ryan Eggold talking to the baby. That was fantastic. I loved Aram realizing that he needs to be field trained. I love the mention of Mira Malik and the fact that she gives this like salty look to Tom about wanting to be alone, because if we remember, Tom was actually the one responsible for Mira getting killed. So I think all in all, yeah, I think this is a really well played, well-rounded episode. I really, really liked it. I love seeing Hetty and Red working together at the dog groomer and the whole van concept. The little side businesses are just brilliant. So everything about this like works for me, except for the fact that we don't understand how the Blacklister fits into the overall scope of things other than to be the story driver.
Well,
that's been the case all season. So at least for the season, it's equivalent. It's on par. So therefore it works. It's just this season's MO.
As I already said, I think that's the connection. I think he's building his getting his mojo back. I love this episode. I thought this was probably my favorite of the season so far. It was well-rounded. It was very dramatic, funny. There's action. The van chase was pretty cool. I mean, and it has some undercover moments, has a little espionage in there thrown in, and it has a flip plot, which I like. You know, where you think it's going one way, it's going another. Tom was really cool in this episode. I wonder if does he look at everybody that way? I mean, because I feel like every time he sees a woman, he's always looking at him like, how you doing? You know, he just got that thing. So it was just overall, I thought it was a really, really solid, engaging, best episode of the season. I think it's better than Premiere, honestly. My favorite so far.
I liked episode 2, Grace and Blaze episode. I think maybe just a little more than this, because I thought the party was fun and the breaking in to get the diamonds.
Yeah, that's fun too.
It was a different kind of fun episode, good episode.
Like, I haven't disliked any of them. I'm just saying right. This one I think is my favorite. All right, let's move on to characters, starting with music.
Music, the lack
question
there,
mark?
Lack thereof this week. Well, we do have, as Aram and Samar exchange glances as she leads in the prisoner, which is Osterman, flashing over to Liz seeing Red at Nick's funeral, and then breaking down over how many friends and colleagues they've lost with her husband, Tom. We do hear Resolution by Matt Corby, which was at the very end of the episode. So that was it for this week.
Where'd they blow the budget at? They blew the budget on what? On the van chase or what?
Or maybe on 508 coming up, a big fall finale. So maybe they had to save some cash.
You never know. It's all about economics in television.
But see, this is a good thing, because all this means is that it just has more tones and more notes of the great Dave Porter to be able to fill in the rest of it. So, win for Dave Porter.
Excellent. Excellent plug. Who you can hear is an interview on the Blacklist Exposed a few weeks ago. How's that? That do Troy very well?
You can buy his album on iTunes and Amazon.
I left that one out. My bad. Dembe is a friggin' babe. He didn't really do much, but he is a friggin' babe, and I'm glad somebody just said it on the show. He's a handsome fella.
I don't know how he took it, though. The look he gave was a little bit like, huh?
Yeah.
That's pretty funny.
That's how he's playing it. He's playing it coy, but later on, you watch like 2-3 episodes, he's going to be like, hey, I'm a babe, right? And things are going to go from there.
Dembe, yes. Hisham, no, because he ran away from that wasp's nest on Instagram this week. It was pretty funny.
Moving on to wrestler, he, you know, we've talked about this before, but if Tom is prominent, wrestler's usually not, and that's the case this week. But his driving face game is on point. He's got a firm, stern, like, his eyebrows aren't moving, nothing. I mean, he's just focused on the road while Aram's over there freaking out in the van chase. That was fun, but that's really all he got to do this week.
Well, I have to say, his closing gap speed is pretty awesome, too, because they had a huge head start while they tried to jockey through the fire drill to get into the car and everybody in the right spots. So for him to catch up, that's like pretty awesome.
Stooges moment there for a minute. I forgot I can drive. Well, your girlfriend's kidnapped. Move.
And then I thought Aram ended up in the back seat, and then all of a sudden he's in the front seat. And I'm like, wait, did I miss something?
Probably. That's very possible. All right, Samar, she didn't have a lot to do, but she did have a great scene where she went undercover and there's a little espionage. And lots of tweets that she needs to wear more outfits like this. I concur because I think all of the criminals would just give up a lot easier in the world. So
I love how they set it up, too. Like, hey, we have to meet in Belgrade. And by the way, he speaks this language and this language. And then you're like, who's the one person on the task force that speaks all these languages?
That's handy. She does have a couple of moments where she's just looking at Aram and she can tell that he's worried and she kind of gives this glance like, it's okay. Like, it's okay, hon. I got this. And I really liked it. It had a very True Lies vibe. So I like that. But Aram actually did get some stuff to do. Mostly be a pansy and not save his woman.
But he is very gentlemanly like.
Be a tough guy. Got to be something, right?
Right.
So be a gentleman.
Yeah. So here, you can just hook up your own listening recording device, you know, under your brassiere. So I don't touch you there in the backseat of the car.
Well, this all led to a pretty surprising revelation that I thought he was going to say something. I really thought they were building that moment where he sits in there in Cooper's office and he's giving him the speech about how he failed and he wasn't ready and everything else. I really thought it was leading up to
the resignation speech.
I can't do my job. What's that?
The resignation speech.
Yep.
I'm turning him a badge.
Turning him a badge, and I'm going to go freelance and I'm going to end up working in the dark web with Red or something. But it went a different way. I want to be operationally trained. I didn't see that coming. I should have. But I didn't. Did you?
Well, he ad-libbed that line. What he really said was, I want to make sure to go out and shoot more rail guns. That's what he was going to say. I want to kill more people with RPGs.
Didn't he do that last season?
Yeah, but that's what he wants to do more.
Yeah, he forgot. You might have forced that dad joke, buddy. I'm just letting you know. Might have just tried just a nit too hard. What? Didn't he have some action in him last year? Am I wrong? Did I forget that?
He's had action quite a bit. I mean, he held the gun up to the director in season 3 in front of the box with Liz. So, I mean, he's been stronger, I guess, in a lot of ways. We had
Is it because he has feelings now? Feelings make you weaker?
It absolutely does. I mean, look at the complexity between Tom and Liz, you know, at the end of season 1, where she's trying to decide, do I actually kill this guy? Do I not kill this guy? And then she ends up putting 2 bullets in him. Doesn't kill him, but then ties him up in a boat. So yeah, feelings have a weird way of...
In a boat or a bow?
In a boat. Tied him up in a bow, in a boat.
Okay. Sweet.
Pretzel what? Man.
What's going on?
But yeah, I mean, Aram had that whole growing sequence last year from Gaia where he wouldn't push the button for the helicopter and then ends up shooting the rail gun at the architect. Mm-hmm. So yeah, the fact that he's a little softer, I guess, would be the word that we'll use this season, strictly has to do with his feelings towards Samar and how he feels about it. And so he feels he can't protect her. So the only way to get protect her is to be field ready. And that's what he's going to do.
Yeah. I mean, he killed a guy last year, so I don't know. Wouldn't it just keep your edge at some point? But I get it. I'm glad that he's going to go for it. Operationally trained. Let's see Aram, like, just come in. You know, he's Tom Arnold one season, and then he's going to be Schwarzenegger the next. I think that would be great. I'm fine with that.
They did shoot a firearm in season one, too, during Ansel Garrick, so.
Did you just, like, go and write all these down before the show started?
Right in the brain, man. Pull them right out.
That's what happens when you're a robot. All right, Cooper really lays into Cox's morals. I talked about that a little bit. And, you know, I really felt with this moment that I thought he was, it's a great moment for Harry Lennox and for Cooper as a character. But I also kept thinking, my Cooper, you're really being sanctimonious here, man, because you are, you have let so much stuff slide. Who are you to lecture this guy? You know what I mean? I mean, he's lost to me, for me personally, in a way, he's lost that, that ability to have that argument.
But maybe he's been trying over the last, maybe since season four, to try to get back into a place where we are doing things by the book. I mean, he had that whole righteous conversation with Red about how, you know, did we get a blacklister? Did he have any guns? I thought you'd be upset. I think you're upset. I feel like maybe Cooper was trying to get back on the up and up. So that's why he had this conversation, because he's trying to make a swing. But at the same time, yeah, he has let quite a bit go. So therefore, mm-hmm. he can't be the one giving that conversation.
I mean, look
at the conversation he had with Liz just recently. Like, you can't say, like, I'm watching you, Liz. I know what you did.
I think that it's very difficult for him to have that conversation. And I would have probably been more supportive of it if he would have, I don't know, maybe advised him to not do anything else. Like, if I hear of anything else like this, I'm shutting you down or something along those lines. He just went, I'm going to tell on you. And he did. And I don't know, as much as he's bent the law or allowed others to bend the law to do things they shouldn't have done. I don't know. It feels a little hypocritical to me.
It happens.
I'm not saying it doesn't happen. I'm just, I love Cooper, and I just felt like, I don't know if you're really the guy that should be having this argument right now, buddy. I just don't.
But I think this is on point, though. This would be the intergovernmental agency bickering that happens. Like, we're the FBI. We're better than the CIA. So, in that regard, then it totally fits. This is them trying to, hey, we showed you guys up today. And then the CIA comes back with the, no, all you did was weaken our country. And they probably did, right? Because we were using this guy's name in order to, you know, help out and do the country's bad stuff that's actually protecting the country from other bad threats, like taking out this communications cable under the ocean.
Well, I can tell you why this guy had got his name. This brings us to a really important question. What did Liz say to that guy to make him talk?
You're listening to Blacklist Exposed on Golden Spiral Media.
That's right. Now I remember. Hashtag swoon for Boone. No, really, apparently, all they had to do was tell the guy that Sirkov, what was his name?
See, I told you, it's hard. Sirkov.
Thank you. Sirkov was dead. That's Elias. All she had to do.
Elias.
But honestly, just hearing her ask me the question, I probably would have spilled. That's really all I needed. Anyway, Liz goes on to blame herself for Dr. Nick's death. I don't know if I can lose any more friends without crawling into the fetal position or becoming a stark raving vigilante.
Foreshadowing.
Now that's what I want to ask you. Do you think it was foreshadowing?
Dude, do you write it that way if it's not? Come on.
I think it's a legitimate statement that she made. You say everything is foreshadowing because you're always looking at that angle. There is a good character reason for her to make that statement.
Okay. I mean, my character reason would be that she's part good girl because she joined the FBI, as we were talking about the nature versus nurture stuff. But at the same time, she is daddy's girl and she has that criminal nature behind her. So she could go stark raving lunatic and probably get away with it because she has reason or purpose or whatever you want to call it. So I think this is an absolute force, especially because she's talking about it with Tom and we know what's happening to Tom.
Her husband.
Potentially.
Or one of, almost husband.
Yeah, because they're not married yet.
Right. Boyfriend. Serious boyfriend.
Serious boyfriend.
Baby
living
daddy.
In sin. No, I'm just kidding. But becoming a stark raving vigilante, I think it's a clear foreshadowing line. The minute she said it, I was like, oh, that'd be interesting. What if Liz came back and killed Tom? Oh, wait, she already tried to do that once and failed.
See, I'm looking at, that's what everybody, I keep seeing everybody in the comment boards and on Twitter, that's what they're all saying, is that she's going to come back and kill Tom and da-da-da-da. My thing is, maybe Tom's death is what would push her over the edge. Tom's death, were he to die, would push her over, because she just said that. Now, yeah, it can be foreshadowing, but it also is a legitimate character statement. So I don't think it's fair to just say it's foreshadowing. It might be, yes, of course, it could be tempting the audience to, hey, you know what you saw a few episodes ago? Connection. But also, it's a legitimate character moment. So I don't like writing it off just as a, it's just there. The writers just threw it in there to tease what's coming up. I don't agree with that. I think it works. Foreshadowing is perfect when it works on its own. Like, nothing ever happens, and that statement still works.
But I think the bigger part of this is that the reason why it's more in-your-face foreshadowing is because you had the Tom and Agnes conversation where Tom's like, and no, I am not lying to mommy. Because remember, Liz always said it, don't lie to me again. I'll take you out if you lie to me again. And so the fact that he says, I'm not lying to mommy, I'm just putting off the information till later, or something to that effect. So then that this comes up at the end of the episode, you're like, ooh, those two statements in the same episode, that's got to mean something.
Yeah, see, now you're just reaching to connect two things. It's basically, he's being dishonest, or delayed honesty is what he's being. And that's separate, which, well, we've spent enough on this. Let's just move on. But I think people get what we're saying. I'm just saying, you write everything off that they say as foreshadowing, and I don't think that's fair to the show, because I think that's like saying that the characters' moments aren't genuine and they're not in the moment. They're only just plotted there or dropped there to set up the future, and I don't agree with that. That's all I was saying.
See, that's the best part about it. Because this is something that any normal human being would say when they're in grief mode at that time. Just spit it all out. This is how I'm feeling right now.
I don't think a normal person would be like, if I lose any more friends, I'm going to become a Stark Riverine vigilante. I've lost friends. I'm good. I mean, I don't think a normal person. In her situation, though, it seems legitimate. It seems like a rational statement for her. Moving on. I thought it was wonderful that someone actually mentioned Mira Malik.
I thought it was a great scene. Like, hey, Mira's buried here too. Let's go visit her. And she's like, nope, I'm going to go visit her by myself. It's your fault she's dead.
Yeah, because wasn't he kind of responsible for it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Working for Berlin at the time.
Yep, that's right. It's been a while since I saw that, so I don't remember the specifics. But I do know that I can't remember them mentioning her much since then.
It was a couple times, maybe early season two, but after that, yeah, it was like dark web.
So it was good. It was good to me to hear that name come up. I was pretty happy. I always liked that actress. I wish she would have came back. You know, well, I guess she can't come back. Can't come back from that, not unless it's Lost.
But she was dating Gus for a while, so one up for her.
I know. She was on Psych. It's probably why I liked her so much. Tom, moving on to Tom. It's the Tom show. He finds Pete's girlfriend with some mysterious heart tattoo. I wonder if that was foreshadowing. And it was. So he gives her the old Tom eyes, which basically say, I'm willing to sleep with you for information if I have to. It'll just be delayed honesty. And eventually she succumbs to his Tom charm and he gets her help. Also, I just want to point out, he's letting Liz feel miserable again.
Yes, he is.
Mm-hmm. Is anybody on board with me yet? Like, Tom's doing dumb stuff still.
Tom's just being Tom. But again, when it comes to the Tom and Liz relationship. Tom's going Tom, exactly. And this time he's being more Tom being Tom because he forgot his protocol when you answer your phone that you have to do caller ID first and screen the call.
I know. When she's going to find the truth, she's going to be like, man, you just maxed out your Tom.
We should clarify this because I think a lot of people are having questions about the phone call itself, that Tom answers the phone because he's getting a phone call from one of the two cell phones that were in the evidence that were picked up from Nick. It's not like Red called from the Nick's pizza phone to call Tom. Mm-hmm. It's like that, I think people were confused at that point. He literally had one cell phone which had the recent call history, and then he picked up the burner and called from the burner. But he didn't call from the Nick's pizza phone. That's why Tom was like, oh, it's not Reddington. He was like, why is Nick calling me? I thought Nick was dead.
And he says, hello. Everybody that's ever watched a TV show or a movie knows when you get a call from a mysterious number or somebody you think, you know, hey, wasn't I just at your funeral? You go, exactly. You don't say anything. Nothing. You just wait for the other person to talk. But he blew it because dumb Tom.
Or you could say, like, dude, what the hell's going on? I just put you in the ground. Oh, crap, it's not you.
On the same token, Adoratom. That scene with the baby was adorable. Absolutely adorable. And I actually like everything about... See, it's his. It's the things that the character does that just drive me bonkers sometimes. But I really dug him doing his going covert thing at the center or whatever. I really dug that. And, you know, he's all flexing his guns while he's breaking into offices and everything. I really had a good... I might be making this weird.
No. I think the one thing that was maybe a tad disappointing is that they started to, he was like tripping and stumbling because of whatever the drugs were that were in his system that had some side effects. I thought the side effects would have played a little bit bigger role in the sequence so that he would end up lying on the floor and then she would come in and find him in the office kind of thing. So maybe that's
predictable though.
I know, but that's kind of what I was hoping was going to happen. So that was on me, but it was good. Just happened to have the random water glass standing nearby to look in his sunglasses, deep into his eyes.
I liked it. I really did. But he does...
The baby scene is great, though.
I don't know... I really don't think he's actually looking at characters that way, but he's just got that smolder look. I mean, he's just Ryan Gosling it out every time he's looking at somebody else. Just like, hey, girl. You know, that's really what I'm getting from Tom.
He's more Flynn Rider, but...
I read he spends most of the episode ruining some poor clerk's life. Can we talk about this poor guy who's now going to probably lose his job?
What about the fact that he's like, Reddington? Like, well,
everybody knows who that is. He works for the cops. He's number one most wanted, right?
I know. It almost seemed like he was either scared or super excited that he was being singled out.
No, I don't think there was any debate there. I think he was like, I'm going to die. What did I do? I'm really sorry. I don't want to die. I think that's what his face conveyed to me.
Well, Red was pissed off because he'd left one single dropping on the concrete. Did you see that? Didn't quite get it all in that little baggie.
Gross, man. No.
You got to pick up everything, man. Everything.
Okay. Why is that something we need to have a point of fact about?
I don't care. Because if you have a dog and you walk your dog and you don't pick up its poo, other animals find it and it just makes your neighborhood gross. Especially when you don't have any grass, because then it's on the concrete.
I understand the science behind it. I mean, but why are we talking about it?
Because that's what Red said. Leave the poo and get in the car.
He said, bring the dog, leave the poop. He didn't say anything about the remnants that you forgot. That's a Troy thing?
It's because he couldn't see over the window. But if he saw over the window, he might have threatened him with a gun. Like, you should really clean up after your dog.
You should probably see someone. So he should clean up after his dog, and after we're done here, maybe you should talk to someone. It seems like you have a childhood issue that you need to resolve.
No, I just have neighbors that don't pick up after their dog.
Anyway, he takes Coco, and he's basically uses Coco to barter for this clerk to get that evidence. You think he would have hurt the dog? I don't think so.
Never would have hurt the dog.
Think he would have hurt the clerk?
Yeah, definitely.
Really?
Yeah. Sweet
guy.
Is this everything? Okay, well, I'm just going to have to take off one of Coco's paws now.
Oh, he seemed like a sweet guy. Anyway, he's probably out of a job right now. So if anybody's got a line, send him jobs.com or something. He finds a way to launder money. Finally, he finds a way to launder money through a critter wash called Critter Cabin. Now, that was something that I knew would have to come up at some point, but did not see them going to a dog washing place as a way to launder money.
Yeah, and because it's a 501c3, so it's not so much that it was the dog place, it was the fact that they needed the charitable organization that wouldn't get audited by the IRS. So here's a groomer that basically goes around and grooms strays to put them back into circulation. Almost a criminal organization when you think about it from that regard. It seems like it's humanitarian, but I'm going to groom you to just give you back into the cycle.
I didn't know you could do that. Is that a real thing?
Apparently. Everything else has been real on the blacklist. I didn't look that one up this week, but yeah, I find a dog, I bring it to the groomer, they do it kind of pro bono-ish, and then they send it right back into the puppy mill circulation. Yeah. It's interesting.
It's interesting that we're not taxing them. That's what. Yeah. There's another thing for the man to crack down on. Get that money.
Yeah. Go.
Well, he's also looking for a clue to who has the bones, and now he found Tom. Now, people are freaking out, thinking he knows Tom has the bones. I don't know if I agree with that statement, because of the two-phone theory that you just said. I don't know what that means. I don't know if that means that he knows Tom has the bones necessarily, because I mean, he knows, he's going to know that Liz was talking to Nick. Tom could easily explain that like he was talking to Nick for some other reason.
Yeah, I mean, maybe they were still in touch just recently because they were talking about the good old days from Cuba. And, oh, man, you remember we pulled that fast one off on Red? That was awesome.
Could be. Obviously, they had been connected before, so I don't know that that really is a dead giveaway.
He could have just been like, you know, I really haven't been paying attention to Liz a lot lately because I've been doing this covert stuff with my mom and dad. You used to date her. Is there anything I can do for Sweetest Day? Could have been one of those conversations.
Easily. Is there anything I can get of her Sweetest Day? That would be good. That almost went right over my head. Good, Jim. So what do you think does happen next with these two? I mean, what do you think he knows Tom has the bones or had the bones at this point?
I think he has a fear that Tom is involved and he doesn't know which side Tom is playing because he's always been shifty to begin with and flipped on Red once before with the whole Berlin thing after being employed by him to watch Liz. So in this regard, I think he's shocked that Tom's involved. The question is, how is he involved? Does he know about the suitcase? Does he have the suitcase? Was he helping Nick? Did Nick have the suitcase? Like here he feels like, is this another one of Kaplan's things that I completely missed on my radar? So I think that's probably where his mind is probably at more, is what side is Tom on, and did Kaplan undermine me even in quote-unquote death?
I don't think he knows the full scope of it. I think he'll play it cool. I think he'll play it smooth is what he'll do. I think he will not let on that he knows. He'll instead put somebody on Tom, keep an eye on him, see where he's going. They'll probably ransack the apartment, I'm sure.
Maybe he'll call Solomon. Hey, I know you hated that guy. You want to watch him again?
Oh, wouldn't that be great to bring Solomon back? Yeah, that would be fun.
Spied on him once before.
Let's do it.
For Fomka. That would
be pretty exciting. And one more thing. Pete, we see Pete, who has a mangled hand, it looks like, and is shaving his head to look like he's joining the Sons of Anarchy, I guess.
Or trying to look like Tom from season 2, joining up with the Germans.
Maybe he's impersonating Tom. So is your indication from that maybe he's the one that killed Nick, or that he escaped the whoever came for the bones the first time?
Well, he has a gun that he puts in his back pocket. So that was the interesting part. At first, with his mangled hand, I'm like, okay, maybe he stumbled in on something and he was able to escape and get away, and that's why he's in hiding, because he doesn't want these people to find him, so he got a gun just for protection. Mm-hmm. Or somewhere in the escape or whatever, he stumbled, fell, the suitcase, dropped it, scraped his hand on the ground picking it up because he was trying to, you know, make sure nobody else saw it out in the streets of New York, and then now he has a gun because he is a bad guy. It's interesting because we don't know enough information from that one shot to find out what he's really up to. But he's definitely not who he seems to be, because even the girlfriend, for some reason, she seems shifty too when you're talking about Pete. Like, Pete won't kill anybody, but he's not quite who you think he is.
Yeah, I am a little curious as to what Pete's motives are right now. I don't know what's going on with Pete. Pistol Pete. I don't know what's the deal with him, man. It's pretty interesting, though, because I really didn't see badass Pete coming out from that methed out med student. I mean, he just looked like a strung out med student when we were introduced to him. So the fact that you see him in full badassery with a pistol in his pocket and a mangled hand, That's really intriguing. I didn't see that. I'm a little shocked. So what I think, my personal opinion, is that Pete escaped whoever came for those bones, because the person that strangled Nick did it with their hand, and I can't imagine that that's the same person. I don't think Pete killed Nick.
Agree. I'm with you on that. Can we talk about Red's cemetery comment for a minute? Because I thought this was interesting. He's standing there with Liz. And Liz is like, oh, you came. He's like, yeah, because Nick did all this stuff for me. And I always found cemeteries interesting, like more people mourn and things of that. I think it reminds us to seize the day. This is a completely different perspective for Red than when we had the Red and Aram scene when he's standing over the grave. And he's like, if it wasn't for you, there'd be two dead bodies that I'm standing over right now, where he seemed very somber and very upset, especially over his mother, you know, being buried. So it seemed like I don't know if it's like the Tale of Two Reds or things have changed in his life that he's all about this fun rebuilding kind of thing. So now he's in the seize the day moment versus the mourn moment. I thought it was a very interesting contrast between the two times he's been in a cemetery. What are your thoughts?
I think this time was not as prolific for him. So yeah, I would agree with what you just said. I mean, Nick's not as important to him, and I think he's having a lot of fun right now. So I think he's in a different place.
Different mindset.
Yeah, completely different mindset.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, one more character. Ready?
I'm ready.
One more character. Well, her arc was very deep and fluid. As she listened to Tom explain his predicament, you could ascertain the inner workings of her psyche as she formulated... Maybe it was formula. I forget. Sorry, formulated her plan to bring down Raymond Red Reddington one juice box at a time. Agnes Keene, we're watching you.
She's smart.
She's shifty, too.
She's got a giant melon. Big brain on that one. She's really thinking it through.
You can't say that about a baby. She's adorable.
She's adorable.
Absolutely adorable. Picking on that poor kid's cranium.
It's what our friend Scott's kid would look like, potentially.
Oh, that's a huge... Gosso weather system. Sorry. Oh, we're over people. But Soy Married an Axe Murderer is a great movie.
So glad Agnes is back. I thought you were going to go with milk carton at a time, but...
No, too easy. You can take down the milk cartons. That was a lot of fun, though. And then we don't need to see her for another 5 episodes. We're good.
See, everything Aaron asks for so far this season gets in the show.
So, I want to see Aaron in the show.
What's the next meme for Aaron? Aaron wants this next. Please put it in.
I just said Aaron wants me in the show. I want to be in the show.
You want to be in?
I want to babysit Agnes. That's my dream. Babysit Agnes. All right. Well, that's enough of that.
Then you wouldn't be in the show because we haven't seen the nanny either. Even though it is Agnes's favorite.
I could be the nanny. I could be the Manny.
The Manny. There you go.
There you go.
Crossover. Hashtag crossover. This is us.
I don't watch this, so I don't know what you're talking about. I'm sorry. This is Us fans. I know it's a huge show. I had so much TV. I can't keep up.
This is Us on the Blacklist.
Now that I would watch that crossover if like Red just showed up at that house, because that family could use some reddening. All right. Well, we'll be right back with Red's rhetoric right after this.
Hi, I'm Brian.
I'm Kyle.
And I'm Ruthie.
And we host
The Walking Dead
and Fear the Walking Dead.
Talk Through, a Golden Spiral Media podcast dedicated to
The Walking Dead
and Fear the Walking Dead
TV shows on AMC. Each episode, we break down what happened, what we think will happen, and talk through our listener feedback.
Because our listeners are very important to us. Isn't that right, Kyle?
Yes, indeed.
Subscribe to us in Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast app.
Or visit us on our website, walkingdeadtalkthrough.com.
And join our Facebook group at facebook.com/groups/walkingdeadgsm.
See you soon, survivors.
Hey, Dembe Loyals, this is Hisham Taufik. You are listening to Blacklist Exposed on Golden Spiral Media.
Welcome to Red's Rhetoric, that part of the show where we play two scenes from this week's episode of The Blacklist, and then you get to vote. Which one is your favorite over at theblacklistexposed.com? That's our website. Go on over there. Drop a vote. It's going to be fun. Just look for the post for Ellipsis Surkov. Okay, Ilya Surkov. Last week, 64% of you think bad boys can be heroes as hashtag Red Saint won last week.
Yeah, you know what they can't be? A movie. Sorry.
Our first clip this week comes when Red falls in love with a bulldog.
Bring the dog, leave the poop.
Rosie Cavendish had a bulldog, Franklin.
Named after a great uncle, poor guy had eczema, dermatitis, seborrhea, one skin condition after the next. The dog, not the uncle.
Please, sir, if I did something...
Given the lesions on her inner folds, I'd say she has pyoderma. What are you doing to treat it? Topical ointments or pills?
I need to be better with her checkups.
I need to borrow some evidence, Lou.
You know my name?
The personal effects of a homicide victim that are currently in evidence control?
I don't know if
you
I
are the
do
clerk
that.
In evidence control,
yes.
The man responsible for checking in and out evidence.
Well, that's true, but...
The deceased's name is Nick Corporal. You have 24 hours. That should give us enough time to get... What?
Coco.
To get Coco the spa day she so desperately deserves. Yeah, you're going to have fun.
Our second clip comes during Dr. Nick's funeral.
So many people find cemeteries to be a reminder of loss. I find them to be a fervent reminder to seize the day.
I'm surprised to see you here.
Nick Corporal saved my life. Brought Agnes into this world. Came to pay my respects. How are you holding up?
I've been better.
Which was your favorite this week? If you could use a spa day like Coco, vote hashtag Red Groomer. Or if you think cemeteries are for seizing the day, vote hashtag Red Funeral.
All right, now we go on to Special Agent Intel, Grace Dorman. I think this is my favorite episode this season. I concur, Grace. So many things going on, constantly either picking up my jaw off the floor or trying to figure out what's going on. I got my hashtag Saram, and Aaron got his Agnes clip. Yes. I love when Tom was talking to her. I feel bad for Liz. Sure, she introduced Nick into this dark world, but she's really the only one. But she's really the only one that should be blaming themselves. Wait, what? Doesn't sound like you feel bad for her then. I'm reading that. All right, I'm so interested to see what Red will do now that he knows Tom was communicating with Nick. Maybe that bloody scene we saw in the first episode.
Potentially.
Mm-hmm.
Tori said, Nick was growing on me. He had scruff and looking sexy. And choosing Dembe over Red, damn girl, both are winners.
Yeah, and I saw, Tori, you were ill, so I hope you're feeling better. So
yes, agree.
You know. Luis de Sisto, I love this episode. So many funny moments. I threw an accent. I don't know if it needed one, but I did it anyway. I love this episode. So many funny moments, but I only have one question. What happened to Pete's hand? I'm more curious about the Pete and Tom situation at this moment.
Me too.
What happened to Pete's hand? Maybe that's just, that should have been the profiling question. What happened to Pete's hand?
You caught up with the Fratellis, potentially. Nate Trujillo said, I have that this episode was so good, but one of the promos for it was awful and incredibly overhyped. The promo said the Blacklister had to power to decimate cities. That wasn't even hinted at during this episode. Oh, well, I'm sure it was the network and not the showrunners that produced the promo. I'm glad that Samar and Aram got some much-needed scene time. Aram, don't let people give you a hard time for not knowing how to drive. Jeez, people judging people. Way to go for Cooper this week. He gave the CIA director a great lecture and looked smooth while giving it. Although, probably shouldn't have. I said
yeah,
that.
Yeah, hypocrite.
Watching Red rebuild his empire is truly a sight to see and so much fun to watch. His plan this week was great. I think Liz mourning Nick's death will keep her on the straight and narrow. As for Tom searching for Pete, it's going to get him into the flash-forward scenario. I'm sure Red will either have a talk with Tom or have him followed. And what happened to Pete's hand? I love how all the episodes of this season are flowing together so smoothly, and I cannot wait for next week. We should change the question.
No way. No. But it would be a great meme. What happened to Pete's hand? Sorry. I'm a little carried away. All right. Linda Cheney, I'm with y'all that this episode was really good. I'm just having trouble with the mistakes this season's Tom is making that he wouldn't have made in past ones. I agree. He never would have left the bones of the drug addict. I also agree. He never would have spoken when he answered the phone. I agree. He knew Nick was dead. He would have just opened the phone and not said anything. Didn't I just say that? I got to start reading these before we do a podcast. I'm thinking Red calls from a phone. That wasn't Nick's, though. Well,
I agree.
Yeah, we agreed again. His character just isn't as sharp as he has been in the past. You know what?
He's tired. He's a dad.
He looks pretty fantastic in a white t-shirt. So
he does.
You got that.
But he is tired. You know, he's only getting 7 hours of sleep instead of 8. That 1 hour is a big difference maker.
Yeah, you assume that they're actually up with this child. That's the first time I think he's seen this child in like a year.
I forget the nanny sleeps over too.
I wonder if it was just a static shot, because I don't think that kid's aged since last season.
It might have been. Rewind to tape section number 124 and pull it in.
Who stole Agnes? Who replaced her? It's a clone.
Now you're talking my theories. Yeah, no twins. No twins.
Speaking new language.
Monica said, theories. Pete isn't hiding the bones. He's hiding from whoever killed Nick.
I agree.
Liz remembering about Mira's fate caused by Tom's allegiance to Berlin will bring her more distance from him. I hope Agnes won't be in the apartment when Red and Dembe come in firing their guns. Aram will make a kick-ass field agent. I'm hoping more undercover Samar dressed to the nines. And after this episode with the CIA bigwig, I'm not sure how Cooper will handle Wrestler when he finds out about the cleaner blackmailing him. It's an interesting juxtaposition there. Red will help Wrestler even though he didn't ask for it.
Yeah, I agree with that. Wendy Davies, is it okay for me to say that I wasn't all this that impressed with this week's Blacklister? I mean, yeah, Wendy, you can do whatever you want.
It's okay for you to say Davies, too.
Free world. Isn't that her name? Sorry, didn't engage me at all. Sorry. Your story didn't engage me at all. I'm sorry. I got off track. So the money is finally trickling in for Red, and the fedora is back. Yeah, I guess we didn't even talk about that. The fedora is back.
Well, if you are going to a funeral, you do have to dress up.
No more baseball hats. I'm kind of sad.
I'm sure the baseball cap will come back next week.
Anyway, you saw the promo, didn't you?
No, I didn't see the promo. No.
Anyone else thinking about along the lines that Tom has been or is being set up? He's not sticking to the script as per Kaplan's instructions to protect Lizzie, but Kaplan had to have known he would go snooping. Maybe she just thought he would do what she asked him to do. There's no reason why she wouldn't think that.
Yeah, because he was the one that played along with the whole Cuba situation and followed through with that. So yeah, why wouldn't she trust him?
He just took it upon it. Well, he was going to do what she said. And then she was all excited about him and him being her dad. And he's like, whoa, I need to find out more before I do that. And that was probably a mistake.
Yep.
Maybe she had a contingency plan all along for this outcome. Who else besides Red would that suitcase harm? Katerina, maybe? She does apologize to her at the end of season 4. So Pete is alive and appears to be on the run minus some digits with a gun. Why didn't his girlfriend report him missing if she hadn't seen him in a week? Yeah, she didn't like him too much because she just met Tom. That's why. She's probably getting ready to call, and then Tom walked in, and she's like, I can wait. I'll make this call later. Who cleaned up and dumped Mr. Nick? Are Pete and Oleander one and the same? Yeah, the fact that Dr. Nick was taken out of there, I originally thought, well, maybe Prescott cleaned the scene up, and then I saw that there didn't it look like there was blood on that floor?
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think Prescott would have left that there.
But it is interesting that the body was moved because he strangled the guy, took the suitcase, came out of the apartment, and Nick was still laying on the floor. So did that guy come back? Did a different person come back? Maybe Pete found Nick coming back to the apartment, realized what was going on, and maybe Pete was like, oh crap, because I'm a former drug trial, I don't necessarily have the best record. I need to figure out a way to take care of this. And maybe when he was trying to hide Nick's body in the rubble, he cut his hand on a piece of rebar.
Maybe. All that stuff. Yeah, that all works. The question, are Pete and Oleander one and the same? I would say that would be a hard stretch for me to buy. Because Nick went to this guy and found him out of the middle of nowhere. So the fact that they would somehow be connected would be a real stretch for me.
But he is a genius. Smarter guy than Nick, all of a sudden showing up out of the blue.
It'd be a real stretch.
It's possible.
Yeah. Anything's possible. I'm saying I would not buy it.
I wasn't expecting him to be as prominent as it seems like he's going to be given that first meeting.
Agreed. Yeah, absolutely.
So being that he's more prominent would lead you to think foreshadowing that maybe he's involved somehow.
Could be.
Anita Wallner replied to Wendy and said, Pete's girlfriend didn't report him missing for the same reason Pete is on the run and didn't go to the police to report that someone cut off his fingers. He's a shady character and police aren't welcome in his life. He may occasionally go on an overnight bender and his girlfriend knows he comes back in a couple of days, kind of like Red did when he thought Liz was dead. But now it's been too long for that and Tom offers to help.
Donna Fisher, last one. Here's what I hope will happen. Red is smart enough to have learned from his debacle with Kaplan. He has to pay attention to the people he loves, even when it seems counterintuitive. Red will find a way to save Tom and hopefully work with him to support Liz and Agnes. Just my 2 cents. I mean, yeah, I guess it's possible. He's done it in the past.
It's true.
The flash forward would say otherwise, as we're being led to believe.
Every time he says, Tom, stay away, I'm done with you, he always seems to want to have this fondness for Tom and come back to him. So maybe. Maybe.
Maybe.
Well, we should say...
I bet you we're going to know by episode 8.
That would be helpful, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
And I think we have a confirmation now. All the press releases are out that episode 8 is the fall finale. So what do we got? 3 weeks till the fall finale? It'll be exciting to see how this builds up.
What's the date for the fall finale?
November, is that a 15th? Is that a Wednesday?
Yes.
Seems right. 23rd is Thanksgiving in the States. So yeah, 15th.
Crazy. Crazy. We're almost there already.
I'm interested to see how many actually air then, because obviously Olympics are coming in February. So it'll be interesting to see how many air between the fall finale and before the Olympics start, if that's like 4 or 5, and if it'll be like a mini arc. We'll have to wait and see.
I'm trying to think. The show was on for the Olympics before, wasn't it?
Yeah, it would have been 2014, but that's Summer Olympics. So no, it would not have been on.
I don't know why I was thinking it was, but okay. Well, that'll be cool. I mean, you know, it's nice to get a little break between shows. I like the blocks when they're connected. I like this 8 weeks in a row, and then you get a break, and yeah. So it'll be a nice little, it's broken up pretty well.
So if we're playing along at home, that means we are on episode 88 plus 1 is 89 plus 5 is 94. So we're getting close to the big episode 100.
Yeah.
So I wonder if that's going to air before the Olympics or just after.
We'll find out soon enough.
I think episode 11 seems like that's where that would hit. So we'll have to keep our eyes peeled.
I don't do math, man. I was told there would be no math.
We should also say hello to everybody that's listening on the new TV Time TV show tracker app. We were just accepted as the podcast for The Blacklist inside of the TV Time app. So if you guys are interested in seeing what other community members are talking about The Blacklist, not just inside of our Facebook group, you can go ahead and get the TV Time app at tvtime.com, both for iOS and for Android. It basically lets you check in to the show to let people know that you're watching it, and then you can post video reactions, chat with the group, listen to the podcast while you're doing it. It's pretty cool. I was playing around with it today. I'm pretty excited.
Yeah, you love TV Time.
I do. I've watched 22 months of TV. Is that what it said I was?
What?
I marked all my stuff that I've watched.
Go outside, man. Go outside.
I'll give you the official total here in a second.
Is that within the last 24 months? Or
no, all time, my entire life, I have watched...
That's since you started using that app.
No, like I went back and like marked all the stuff that I watched, like X-Files and Sliders and Love Boat and Andy Griffith and all that stuff. Oh, yeah. I got to get my street cred, man. Yeah.
What street cred exactly are we getting here?
22 months and 10 days.
It's a lot of TV.
Spent watching awesome TV.
It's a lot of TV.
So I got a lot of theories.
Yeah, all of them. All right, well, that will conclude this episode. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at TheBlacklistGSM, where we live tweet during the East Coast feed. And I wanted to give a shout out to Rory, who's been helping us out with that. And we use the show's hashtag, TheBlacklist.
Yeah, great job this week, Rory. Don't forget to follow us on Tumblr, Instagram, and join the Facebook group as well. And just search for The Blacklist Exposed. Talk about the show, the podcast, or let us know your favorite breed of dog.
What? You just write the weirdest stuff. You can also subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music, or your favorite podcast player of choice. You can also listen from the website. But if you're really on the go, like Raymond Red Reddington, make sure you download our app for iOS and Android, powered by Spreaker. You will also find all the intel and analysis about this episode for Ilias Sirkov by visiting theblacklistexposed.com. Big thanks for listening. And don't forget our profiling question.
What happened to Pete's hand?
No, I'm just kidding. What will Red do to Tom now that he knows?
Be creative.
Yes. Get crazy with it.
Have some fun. It's getting cold outside.
If you can involve aliens in some way, I'm all for it.
Or alien robots in space. I love you forever.
And maybe a prison break. Like prison breaks. Okay, guys, that's going to do it for this episode. I hope you enjoyed it. I can't wait. We got six, seven, eight. We got three more episodes before the fall finale.
Woo-hoo.
I think it's going to be a gas.
Keep using that one.
Well, see? I mean, really, it's perfect.
Yeah. All right. We'll see you next week.
Take care.
Until next time, I'm Agent Troy Heinrichs. That's at Troy Heinrichs on Twitter. And if you want to learn more about me, just visit, well, about.me/Troy Heinrichs.
And I'm Agent Aaron Peterson. You can hear me talking about movies and TV on the Hollywood Outsider podcast, as well as Remake This Movie Right. We are available at thehollywoodoutsider.com or on Twitter at 5Popcorn. Be sure to subscribe, download the app, submit your feedback, but most importantly, keep yourself off of
the blacklist.
The Blacklist Exposed is a Golden Spiral Media production. Find more of our great podcasts at goldenspiralmedia.com/podcasts.